Sherry Pollux, who is a teammate with Martin Truex Jr., a life mate and a person who really motivates him on the life side of things as he's, you know, catapulted to achieving things as a driver. Sherry in victory lane, just part of it, so emotionally moved as Martin Truex Jr. got the win at the Coca-Cola 600.
It's been crazy. The past 2 years have been hard, but this just is like the icing on the cake. Catwalk was amazing. We raised almost $500,000. I keep telling Martin, karma will eventually come back around and something good is going to happen to you. And it happened tonight in our hometown with all of our family here. And it's just amazing. This is awesome.
Let me give you a hug and tell you congratulations.
Thanks.
Everyone loves Sherry Pollux. Of course, it was emotional in Victory Lane. And I bring her on now. I really wanted, because in Victory Lane, there's a massive number of people. Everybody was pulling at her and at Martin. And I thought, how nice if I could have her on the air and chat with her. As you know, she's now cancer-free after a long and grueling battle with ovarian cancer. But she was special way before that. I've known her for a long time. Everybody always really liked her a lot. And then she's done so many good things to help little kids that are battling cancer. And that's the story of it. And I bring her on now. Listen, Sherry, thank you for coming on because, you know, Victory Lane was so crazy. I bet you look back now and you were like, you know, when you're at an event, you want to talk to everyone. You can't possibly do it, but I'm glad I got a few moments with you. And I welcome you now on to this show on Dialed In. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having me on. I know when you just played that little piece, I was like, God, I sound so bad. I mean, I was bawling when you grabbed me. So I was happy to talk to you. And yes, it was crazy. And it was hard to talk to everybody. And I missed so many moments that I wish I, you know, would have been more present for, but there's so much going on during that celebration, so you miss out on a lot, and it was crazy and wild and fun, and we got lots of great pictures and videos, and it's a night that we'll never forget for sure.
Well, everybody likes it that the emotion was there, because you know what? It's real, and I think... You know, it's really amazing. You've done so much for so many people. I remember a day about a week and a half ago, and I tweeted the video that's like living in the moment and the little kids dancing on the beach and the Martin Truex Jr. Mm-hmm. beach balls. And I remember sitting there and thinking, what a gift to tell everyone to stop for a second and appreciate this. You don't have to have gone through some of the horrid things that cancer is doing to our friends and little children in order to just say, you got to stop and enjoy life. It is a gift you're giving people, Sherry. Everybody, sick or, you know, or well, it really is very amazing. Really is.
Well, thank you. That's awesome. I mean, that's, you know, why we do the videos with the kids and why, you know, we chose that song, Living in the Moment. Because I think a lot of times, whether, like you said, whether we're sick or we're healthy, we just kind of forget to stop and soak in the moment and be present, you know, in a age of social media and cell phones and always being on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and all these things and Snapchat. And I think we forget sometimes to just be present. And so, you know, after I got sick, that was a huge part of what I wanted to do in my life is just make memories with people that I love and do stuff for the kids and help them and help other women that have my disease and kind of just take that time to live in the moment every day, you know, whether it's at a racetrack or you're sitting in the backyard watching your sunset. So it's an honor for us to be able to do those videos with the kids. They're amazing little people that just don't let anything hold them back, especially not cancer. And we're just honored to be a part of their life and raise money for them and hopefully, you know, let them forget about their disease for a little bit.
Right when the ice cream truck came and they all went running and then Martin's inside the ice cream truck on the video and they're all just happy with an ice cream cone. I mean, that's it, right? Right?
I know. It doesn't take much. We took them to a beach for the day, you know, and we let them just be kids and we hula hooped and we had three-legged races and we cooked hamburgers and had an ice cream truck and, you know, you saw us, we threw the beach balls in the air and let them play in the water and it was like, you would have thought you took them to Disneyland, you know, it was just such a great day for them to just be kids and be what, you know, normal, healthy kids take for granted because they don't know any different. You know, they don't know what it's like to be sick and those kids do. And they know what it's like to be in the hospital all day and not get to go outside and enjoy the beautiful weather and just be a child for the day. And so that's our ultimate goal to, you know, all through catwalk leading up to the event is just treat them like rock stars and let them be the kids that they deserve to be. And I hope we do a good job of doing that. It sure is fun.
You know, the interesting part is that the drivers in the video, Ryan Newman, Martin Truex Jr., Dale Earnhardt Jr., they actually went to being kids having fun doing nothing. And usually they're so focused on winning. And so that was a gift, too, in a way, because they were just jumping around and having fun.
Yes, we were so blessed this year. You know, we had so many great drivers come out, and Danica and Ricky and Joey Logano and And it was so much fun to have everybody out at the beach day, you know, and just let them for a moment kind of forget that they're competitors on the racetrack, which they're really good at, and they do it at Catwalk every year and every really charity event that they go to. But it's fun to see them out of their element, you know. It's fun to see them, you know, it's fun to see Dale Jr. doing a three-legged race and just laugh and be a right. kid again. And I think it kind of reminds us all of our childhood and how much fun we had, and that it's okay, you know, even in your 30s, 40s, and 50s, to just have fun and let loose and be a kid again. And that's what that day was all about. And yeah, I hope it showed in the video. We had so much fun making it. I'm looking forward to doing one again next year.
Very cool. And racing is supposed to be fun too. And some of that joy, I think that just spread. And, you know, the other thing I wanted to ask you was, what was it like sort of after the win with Martin and you, because there's just so much going on and videos and interviews and also, you know, it was such a huge win for him. You two sort of got emotional in victory lane. And what kind of, you know, what kind of reaction did you get from people? Because people just, it was a very popular win. And you two sort of, people wanted to be a part of it, you know, wanted to hug you, wanted to, you know, tweet you. What was it like after for you and him?
I know, that is so cool. You know, it was such a humbling moment for me, especially that people even cared that I was there to be with him, and that, you know, I tweeted a picture from Victory Lane and it got like 4,000 likes in like 10 minutes. And I was like, I can't even believe that many people care. You know, it's just amazing the love that NASCAR fans have for not even just their favorite driver, but just for a moment like that, to just appreciate that two people that have been through so much and have had a lot of adversity in their lives and have overcome a lot are just in a moment that's incredible. And that, you know, for us just to, you know, I don't know. I think it's a popular win too, just because Martin is such a good, normal guy, you know, just mm-hmm. laid back and easy to get along with. And he's been through so many ups and downs in his career. And he's always just kind of stayed steadfast. You know, he never really gets angry or mad, or you never really see that much emotion out of him. He just is always kind of even keel. He's always my calm before the storm, you know, when things hit. And he was like that throughout my whole disease. And, you know, this is really the first win for him where I was cancer free. You know, Pocono last year when he won was amazing, but I was still in treatment. So for us, I don't think it was like we couldn't really see the end of the road yet. I still had, you know, 6 more months of treatment, and I still didn't have hair, and I was still wearing my wigs, and I just felt, I mean, I didn't feel bad, but it just wasn't the same. And this was like, you know, Martin had done so well in so many races this year and lost the Daytona 500 by a quarter of an inch and, you know, dominated at Kansas and Texas and was good at Dover, and it just kept seeming like he had heartbreak after heartbreak. And I told him time after time, you know, there's just something bigger in store for you. God just has something great that's going to happen in your life. And I don't know what it is, but patience is such a virtue. You just need to wait. And when that moment comes, you're going to shine. And I can't believe it happened during the Coca-Cola 600 with, you know, all of our friends and family there at our home track. You know, when I was cancer-free, the first time ever I'd gone out in public really without my wig, which for me was just, you know, maybe to other people it's not a big deal, but to me it was. It was like a moment where I wanted to own up to who I was, and I wanted to teach other women and empower them to be beautiful no matter what they have in their life. You know, no matter if you have no eyebrows, no eyelashes, I've been there. I know how hard it is. And it can be a very daunting experience to go through, and it's humbling, to be honest. You kind of realize those aren't the important things in your life anymore. You just want to be healthy and to be there to have those memories and make those memories with your loved ones. And I think that's what made Sunday night so special for us. And afterwards, it was amazing. You know, we went and did the champagne toast in the Speedway Club and went through all the rounds of media. And we had my mom there with us, and Martin's little brother was there. And then Monday was Memorial Day. So we had a party at our house and had all of our friends and family over. And we just feel so blessed. We had such a good time. And I'm just honored that the fans were as excited as we were about his win.
You know, and you're talking about the hair, which is adorable on you. Ingrid Vandenbosch, the wife of Jeff Gordon, and others tweeted, man, you look great with that little short hairdo, and it'll grow out. But truthfully, I understand what you're saying, because prior to all this happening, which is the most devastating thing that ever happened to you, you were known for your long blonde hair. And now I think maybe, you know, while it was hard for you to do that, it's a freedom of sorts, I would guess. I don't know.
It is. Yeah. I mean, really, isn't it so silly, right? As women, we're so defined by our hair. We're so defined by the way we look and you know, what we wear. And we get so wrapped up in all of that. And I'm as guilty of it as the next person. And partly because I am in the public eye with Martin, and I feel pressure to you know, to look good. And you want to look good, and you want to be cute. You know what we all right. do. And I think that my hair was part of that. And I always, you know, I think my wigs were kind of a security blanket for me. I was telling Martin that Dale Jr. came up to me at the rehearsal for Catwalk, and when I took my wig off in rehearsal for Catwalk, and he was like, "What? You know, why did you shave your head?" And I'm like, "I didn't. This is my hair." And he said, "I had no idea. I didn't know that you didn't have any hair. I thought that was your hair." And I think that a lot of people saw me, you know, either on TV or at the racetrack every weekend, and they felt like I was normal, like, because I had a wig on, because it looked so real and it did look like my old hair. But right. I wasn't normal. You know, I was still fighting a grueling disease, and I'm going to fight it for the rest of my life. So,
right.
You know, not wearing my wig after Catwalk and rocking my short hair, ironically, at the race that Martin won for the first time, was very freeing. And it was like owning up to who I was. Like, this is who I am. This is... Mm-hmm. I've been through 17 months of chemotherapy, and this is what it does to you. You know, there's so many other things it does to you physically, mentally, and emotionally, but you know, your hair as a woman is a huge part of that. And, you know, it just, I don't know. Yeah, it is. You get this sense of independence and freeness. And I did not see Ingrid's tweet, but that's so sweet. And I'll make sure I send her a message. But I mean, Chandra Johnson sent me a message, and Jimmy and all these people, and Clint Bowyer came up to me and told me I was hot, which, coming from Quinn, is a great compliment. He's crazy, and he's a dear friend of ours. So, I mean, I was so flattered that everybody told me how cute it was and made me feel good about myself, because I was a little nervous about how people would take it. And Martin loves it. And, you know, I'm honored to even be here to have short hair and to be alive and to be healthy today and to be able to make those memories. So, you know, I'll rock my short hair as long as I can.
Right. And the thing is, it's one thing to own up to it when, you know, everybody's so protective about their hair. The second thing is when there are cameras on you and you're in victory lane and it's, you know, put in newspapers across the country. I mean, that is big, right? It was on the massive scale.
Yeah, I didn't know. Well, obviously, I didn't know that, you know, when I left the bus that day, you know, Sunday, I was a little nervous to walk out on pit road, you know, with my hair short and for everybody to see me, because a lot of the, you know, crew guys had stopped me and they were like, "Oh, we didn't even know you lost your hair." But everybody was so complimentary and so nice. And then it just so happened that the first race that I didn't wear my wig, we won, which now Martin thinks is my wig, or like jinxing him. So I don't think I'm ever going to be able to wear a wig again. But it was, you know, and I did an interview today for the Charlotte Observer, and the guy that was interviewing me said, you know, isn't it sort of ironic that the biggest race of the year, really, for him, in his career that he's won, was the race that you decided to not wear your wig? He's like, don't you feel like God's kind of trying to help you, use you to make a statement to other women that it's okay to own who you are? It's okay to, you know, to rock a bald head, or even, you know, a short do after you've been through chemotherapy or whatever you're going through in your life. And I said, you know, I never even thought about it like that, but I hope it does inspire somebody at home to, you know, feel more comfortable in their own skin. Cause it's definitely taught me to do that. So
yeah,
it's been pretty cool.
I got the idea in Victory Lane, and I was there live. I got the idea that I watched the video, the TV, and it was all over YouTube and everything, that if Martin would have looked at you for one more second, he was going to lose it. You came up and gave him that big hug, and you were like, you just kind of embraced him because you could see he was going to lose it. And then he kind of like tried to look away, because I think he was just going to crumble into a ball of crying winning in Victory Lane. I got that idea. Do you think that's right?
Yeah, I didn't, in that moment, I didn't know that. And I did not know that Matt Yocum was going to pull me into the interview, but I'm so glad he did, because it was true emotion, and I think it hit home for a lot of people, and and it shows the love that and respect that we have for each other. And you know, I didn't see that until I went back and watched the replays, and then I saw him take the towel and wipe his eyes, and I thought to myself, you know, in 11 years we've been together, I think I've seen him cry, you know, two times. And and that was the day of my surgery and the day I got diagnosed with ovarian cancer. So it was a very emotional moment for him. And, you know, I understand why it was for both of us. I mean, you have that moment and it's just, you have so many emotions. I mean, just for a regular, you know, person that's not been through what he's been through. But I think just having me there and looking at me and like I felt like he kept looking at me like, I can't believe you're here. Like, I can't believe you're even alive and you're like here for this moment. Because originally when I was diagnosed, you know, the statistics for ovarian cancer are grim. They're not very good. My 5-year survival rate is not good. And we didn't know if I was going to be here. So just being there and getting to experience it, you know, my doctor that did my surgery was texting us while we were in Victory Lane. And he told us he was home watching and he was crying. And we wrote him back and said, well, we are too, because without you, I wouldn't have been here for this moment, because I was diagnosed in August. I would have been dead by Christmas had I not had the operation. So, you know, he saved my life and we're so grateful to him for that. And just grateful that I was able to be there to experience it with him.
Well, please talk about your website. I have looked at it and it's motivating too. It is really, really awesome. And even if you, you know, you don't have to go on there just because you're fighting cancer, you can go on there and it makes you appreciate the tough day that you had, that you're thinking about something that is so ridiculous that has nothing to do with anything serious. And you get on there and you have a freedom that, man, go outside and see the sun and enjoy life because you're okay, you know?
Yeah, it's so true. I wanted a way to kind of give back to everybody that reached out to me when I was sick. I had so many people reach out via social media or sending letters to Martin Shop or just would stop me if they'd see me out and tell me their story, because everybody has a story about cancer, right? We're all affected by it. Everybody's family is. Everyone's been touched by this disease. And I couldn't think of a better way to give back than to start a website where I could actually, you know, talk to people and blog to people and tell them about my experience and tell them all about all the things I learned about holistic and alternative treatments, which I've been really you know, big on since I started my chemotherapy, because I felt like it really helped me get through my 17 months of nasty toxins being pumped in my body. You know, that the holistic and alternative therapies really helped me. I wanted to share that with other women, not just women, but just other people that were going through my disease. And so there's recipes on there. There's, you know, exercise tips. There's blogs about losing your hair and family members and siblings going through cancer and what it's like, and stuff about yoga and acupuncture. And, you know, we're going to start updating it now every 2 weeks with a newsletter, and we're going to put stuff out. We've had like 2,000 people sign up to receive the newsletter, which has only been up for a couple weeks. So that's amazing. You know, for anyone that wants to go on at sherrystrong.org, it's a really cool site, and I'd love to hear from people. And I do go on there every night and write people back, and it's just great to be a part of it and to help educate other women, because, you know, ovarian cancer sadly is very underfunded and there's not a lot of awareness for it. There's 21,000 women a year that get diagnosed and 14,000 of them die. So we can do better than that. And I think, you know, educating women is the first step. So I hope it does that for somebody at home.
And again, I really want to say this, because you were really special and a really cool person before you got cancer. And now you're doing great things with it. But you always were so cool and talked to you down on Pitt Road. And now you're famous and cool in your own right for what you're doing. And I think that's awesome. The other thing is, what you said about Martin is so true. And I always judge it when you see a driver out on Pitt Road and you say, safe trip home. And they say, one group of them, most of them are pretty cool and will say, you too, like they care whether you get home. And the other group is like, thank you. Like, I hope I get home safe, right? Well, I was in the media center. It was 1 a.m., whatever time it was. Martin had just, he was going to NASCAR Productions or coming from it. I was gathering the last few sheets of paper out of the, to take home with me and packing. I was so tired. He walks by and he says, you work really hard, Claire. I hope that you're going to go home now. And da-da-da-da. He stopped, and he was, like, thinking about what I was up to. And I think that's really awesome, you know?
Yeah, that sounds like Martin. He has the biggest heart of anybody I've ever met in my life. He just is always thinking of other people, you know? He's just, he's got such a big heart. He's such a good person. He grew up in a great family, you know? He was raised by good parents, and his siblings are amazing. And, you know, they were a hardworking family. They're clammers. They're just great people, and I think it shows in the way they raise their son. And, you know, he does care about the fans, and he cares about the people, his competitors, and he cares about what they think about him. It's funny. I walked in yesterday, and he was sitting on the couch, and he never watches, like, racing shows, really. Like, he doesn't really watch, like, Race Hub or, like, NASCAR Across America or anything. He doesn't really pay attention to a lot of stuff like that. He's usually outside fishing or doing something. But we had it on, and they were talking about how all the drivers were so – excited and saying how well deserved his win was, and I went and sat next to him on the couch, and I was like, wow, it must be really cool to hear that how much your peers respect you and how much people like you in the garage, you know, there's, and in the grandstands, you know, people were going crazy. I said, it must be such a good feeling. And he said, it is. It's so awesome. And it's so humbling. And I just want to, like, it just makes me want to hug him because he's just so nice to other people. And that's why people are nice back home. That's why they love and respect him. And that's why, you know, you see them line up on pit road to give him a high five when he has a big win like that. Because he does the same thing for other people, and I think they recognize that. He does a lot in the community, and he's just all around a good person. And that makes me happy that he said that to you, because it means he's a good guy.
Very, very well put. Sherry, I will see you down on Pitt Road and out and about and around. The love that everybody has for you is real, and it's because you're a real person, and we're so happy for you, and you enjoy it fully, and I'll see you at the racetrack and have some fun with it. And thanks for sharing, you know, the things that make everybody just stop and say, hey, let's make it a good day today. You know, let's just smell the roses a little bit. And I appreciate you coming on tonight. And it's sherrystrong.org, right?
Yeah. Thank you so much, Claire B. Thanks for having me. You are one of the hardest working people I've ever met in my life, and I love you to death. Thank you for inviting me to be a part of your show.
You got it. And if you need anything, let me know. Have a good evening and say hi to Martin, okay?
Thanks. You too. All right. Bye-bye. All right.